Alvarez waiting in the first pitch. He takes low and away, ball one. That was an ambush waiting to happen right there.
Yes, yes. He just can't wait anymore. I'm shocked that Taiwan's still there.
The pitch. It's blasted. Forget about it. Way back to left. Three-run home run for Francisco Alvarez. His 10th of the year, and it's a rout. Now the fourth homer of the game for the Mets, just teeing off on Taiwan Walker.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. And there you heard it last night. Scott Fransky, Kevin Stocker on the call as Francisco Alvarez takes Taiwan Walker deep. Phils end up losing 10-6. And now to talk Phils, all things going on with the Phils with us, we bring in the play-by-play voice of the Phils, Scott Fransky. Scott's call in, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, thanks for hopping on. Rough night
Scott.
Last night for Taiwan Walker in New York.
How's the pulse back there in Philly? How we feeling?
Scott, I didn't even know what to ask you. I was just going to tell you that I missed you the other day when you weren't on the air. When I was listening to that, I didn't even. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't even know what to say because I'm in the car last night and I'm driving when the game starts, and it didn't start great. And I was like, well, damn, what am I going to ask Scott tomorrow? So I was just going to say I missed you the other day.
It's really
well,
cute.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that, Hugh.
Yeah, a rough
makes
one.
Makes me feel good.
Well, I miss you, too, in the radio booth, Scott, just so you know. But Murph did a great job filling in your place. But obviously, rough night for Taiwan Walker last night. He struggled again. And let's face it, a nightmare season for Taiwan. Scott, just off the top, what have you seen this year that has been different from last year when at least Taiwan was serviceable in that rotation?
Yeah, well, I think he's really searching, and the guy's got a lot of pride. He's got a lot of determination in trying to figure it out, but it just hasn't worked. And I think the big thing that, a drop in velocity hasn't helped. And last night there was a little bit of an uptick over what it had been. But again, everything's hard. There's just not enough separation there between his fastball and his split, which was really his bread and butter. I mean, that's what he really got by on the previous 2 years, whether it was the last year with the Mets or the first with the Phillies. And he just doesn't have that combination anymore. So he's trying to figure it out with other stuff, his sweeper, his cutter. It's really clear he's just grasping, trying to find something that works, and it's not working right now. And I feel bad for the guy because I've seen up close how much he works and how much he tries and how much he's tried to figure it out, but it's just not working right now.
Yeah, and Scott, obviously a big issue last night was Taiwan going back out for the fourth inning, and Topper gave his reasoning after the game, and understandable. You got a bunch of games in a row coming up. You don't want to burn your bullpen. Just how difficult of a spot do you think Rob Thompson's in there in balancing putting Walker back out for the fourth and going to that bullpen too early?
Well, it is a balancing act. I think part of that comes from the luxury of having some cushion, right? Because I think if you're the trailing team, I don't mean in a game, I mean in the standings, and every game is so critically important to make up ground, then I think maybe they're a little more aggressive with the bullpen on a night like last night, and you kind of worry about tomorrow, you worry about Saturday. And the Phillies have been in that position before. In fact, even the last couple of years, they've been in that position at times. So, I get it. He feels like, tomorrow, next day, I'm going to be more in the game with the starters that I have. I think, again, the way the fifth starter spot has been, I was looking at it today. It's pretty remarkable. The last 12 times they've gone to the mound, whether it's, as a starter,
right,
whether it's Allard, Walker, Phillips, or Johnson. This is going back to the 1st of August. Last 12 times, they've combined for an ERA over 13.
Wow.
Now that's dreadful, obviously. The Phillies are 5-7 in those games, which is stunning, right?
Yep.
They're, They're basically a 500 team in those games. They've had some blowouts, there's no doubt. But all in all, they're 5-7 out of the fifth spot there over the last 6 weeks. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to snow anybody here. I'm just, I found that number to be pretty amazing that they are only 5-7 in those games, because I figured it would have been much worse.
No, and that honestly makes me feel a little better. I wouldn't have thought they're 5-7 in those 12 starts either. But Scott Fransky joining us now, play-by-play voice of the Phils. Now for some positives here, Scott, one of the big things over the last week or so, Bryce Harper went 30 straight games without a home run. Power strokes coming back a little bit, hit two home runs in that game last week, hit a big one in Milwaukee earlier this week. What are you seeing from Bryce and his power stroke coming back?
I mean, he's there. I think he's on just about everything. And more home runs, are going to come. But, you know, you see balls like he hit last night. I mean, you line that double to right center in a big spot. It's hard to argue with what he's doing. I know he's playing through stuff, and I know he's dealing with, you know, those. We see him all the time wincing on those, you know, those follow-throughs on swings and misses sometimes. But, I like where he's at. I think he looks good. I think last night or the last, you know, little bit here with Trey, I think Trey's a huge catalyst. I don't worry about Schwarber. I don't worry about Harper, but Trey's been so up and down. And I just think to have those three guys going would be big. I mean, they need to get Bohm going. They need to get Cassidy going, make the lineup a lot deeper. They've got some of those guys at the bottom that are doing stuff now, Marsh, Romuto, even Stott to an extent. But, you know, there's those right-handed bats in the middle, whether it's Turner, Bohm, or Castellanos. Those are the ones I think they need to get going.
Absolutely. And Scott, when you look ahead to the postseason here, and obviously still a little ways to go, Phils still need to clinch. The Brewers lost last night, so they maintain a 3-game lead over them in the National League. Assuming the Phillies get one of those top two seeds, how do you think the pitching rotation gets structured in the playoffs? Because typically Topper likes to go Wheeler game one, Nola game two, but Christopher Sanchez, so much better at home than on the road. How much do you think Sanchez's home versus road splits will factor into that decision for who Topper might throw in a game two?
Yeah, I think it factors in. How much, I don't know, Tom. I think they're really considering it, you know, that idea. And, you know, everybody's talking about it. Obviously, the home numbers for Sanchez. I think you also get a guy in Nola in game three that, you know, it's been there. And, I mean, let's just say, for instance, you lost the first two or one of the first two, and you got a big swing game there in game three. You know, there you can rely on maybe the veteran in Nola and pitching on the road. And, you know, he's such the same guy all the time emotionally that you don't worry about him. So I think they'll take that into account for sure. And, you know, again, I think how Nola does his next start will factor in. How Sanchez does his last couple of starts will factor in. Assuming they get the bye, they'd have the luxury of setting it up any way they want. So, you know, matchups might come into play, too, who they play. Mm. That might have something to do with it, too, because, you know, if it's a right-handed heavy lineup or if it's a lineup that Sanchez has been really good against or something like that, that might play into it as well. So I think there's a lot of factors, and I don't think they'll be decided on it till they get to October.
Yeah, and Scott, just one more here for you. Obviously, the story around baseball last night, Shohei Ohtani, 50-50 club. Just what can you say about the kind of player this guy is?
I don't know. What can you say?
There's not much.
Right?
Yeah.
It kind of makes you think, well, if he's going to do that every year, he's just a hitter. Maybe he should just be a hitter.
Right.
What will pitching take away from him? It's pretty remarkable, and obviously doing it in that fashion, you know, surpassing 50 in both categories on a night like that, driving 10 runs. I mean, just come on, that's just ridiculous. pretty amazing stuff. And I don't relish the prospect of having to face. I hope the Phillies get to face him in one sense,
right?
Because it means they've gone deep in the playoffs, probably. But at the same time, he's going to be a tough out to get. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, hopefully they get knocked off before the Phils need to see
him. That'd be fine with me. That'd be all right.
That would be nice. But Scott, unbelievable. Only one home series left this year. Hopefully the Phils can get the division clinched this weekend in New York. And we'll be listening. Thanks.
Fingers crossed.
Hey, keep your chin up, okay?
Definitely.
Keep your chin up.
Definitely.
We are. There you go. Scott Fransky joining us every Friday. There he is. Phil's got to just clinch this
weekend.
Yeah,
that's all you need is one.
Put it to bed.
Two would be nice, but all you need is one.
Yeah, one would put them in a great spot and really just finish in front of the Brewers. And, man, we're going to have to – did you see what Otani did last night, Hill?
Yeah.
I mean,
He had three home runs, and the way that he did it, yeah. I was just like – he's a pretty big dude, too. I mean, that was the thing that kind of stuck out to me last night. The first player to do it. And you know what's funny? Watching him run, he didn't look that fast. Like, and then to put it in perspective, 51 bases.
Yeah.
Like, that's
impressive.
Think
you could beat him in a race, Hill?
No, listen. Kyle, I said he didn't look
just
fast.
Just say no. Just say you can't.
But he had to steal 51 bases. He has to be moving.
I do need to say the other night when Schwarber beat that one out down the line, mm-hmm. the first thing I thought of is whether he would have beaten that out.
I think I'd get Schwarber.
But now while we're calling each other out here, remember, TK, when you said that you would start a franchise of Bryce Harper over Shohei Ohtani? Are you willing to back off of that?
Yeah, it was a bad take. Yeah, bad take. I was caught up in the moment.
I'm proud of you, man.
It was that week of the Phillies-Dodgers. I got carried away. Bad take, hand up.
This dude, but here's the thing.
Though. Sorry, guys.
They paid Buddy to be a pitcher. He can't pitch.
He might come back and pitch in the
playoffs.
No,
when I say he can't pitch, I mean he can't pitch this year because he's coming off of Tommy John.
They paid him $700 million. Paying him to do both.
Man. Now they're saying he may pitch.
Yeah,
in the postseason.
No, I know.
Man,
yeah,
this cat said, okay, as a hobby, as a side note,
yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and hit 51 home runs and steal 51 bases.
What a monster! Unbelievable. Yeah, let's just have them lose before the Phillies play. That'd be great.